something about our legal guilt and the fact that we often desire to do bad things. To remedy the problem created by your sin and my sin, God sent Jesus Christ. People always ask, where was God when this happened to me? Where was God when this tragedy occurred? Where was God when he died? God was on the cross. Simple answer. God was on the cross. Jesus died for us so that we would never have to go through another pain or sorrow again someday. So that we could have an eternity with Jesus Christ. And that is my Father's hope. That he will be with Jesus forever. And that now in heaven, without pain or sorrow, my Father's talents, his writing, his imagination, his creativity, they're going to be ultimately expressed forever in service to his God. That makes me extraordinarily happy. That's what's bearing me up right now, knowing that he's there in a place of beauty and perfection. Romans 5, 6 through 9 states, You see, at the right time, when we're all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might be possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified, made right by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The writer is saying that our number one problem is that we have a problem with God. Our sin is keeping us from him, and we need reconciliation. If you were to stand in the courtroom and the judge of all judges levies the monstrous fine for your sins, if you've accepted him, if you have accepted his sacrifice, Jesus pushes you aside and says, I paid for the debt. If God has provided any other way to pay for your sins except for Jesus, if he's provided any other way, then God is a sadomasochist. It means he enjoys pain. He sent his son. Question this. He sent his son to suffer, to pay a debt that could be paid in any other way, that you could do by your own works, by doing good things, by trying to balance out the scale, or being very nice, helping old women across the street, that kind of thing. He sent his son to die. And you should understand this morning what an insult it is to God when you refuse to accept his son. If you have ever said, I can get to heaven on my own, I can earn it, I can deserve it, then you're shunning Jesus. You're shunning Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. What a gift. Not by works that no one can boast. A gift you can't pay for. A gift you can't earn or discern. A gift is simply there. What should your response to his sacrifice be? And the response should be gratitude. We don't live good lives because we've attempted to earn heaven, and we certainly don't become morally perfect after we accept Christ either. My Father, many of you had interactions where I'm sure it wasn't the most pleasant. We all loved him entirely, but you know, he was a man. And he did his best, but he fell at times. And I loved him for it because of the way he recovered. We live good lives because we're thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The second thing you need to do other than accepting Jesus Christ today is that you should repent. If your sin is the cause of what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, then you need to personally deal with it. Repentance is like treating sin like a hand grenade. You throw it one way like it was going to blow up in your hands, and you run in the opposite direction with all the fear that you can, getting away from it. That's what repentance is. If you trust in the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf and repent of your sins, God has promised to transform you. Romans 7, 23 through 25 was Dad's refrain. But in every part of me, I discover something fighting against my mind. It makes me a prisoner of sin that controls everything I do. What a miserable person I am. Who will rescue for me from this body that is doomed to die? Thank God, Jesus Christ will rescue me. As nice as Dad was, my dad realized he was a sinner. He dealt with it so well, so wonderfully. The moment he died, he was transformed to be like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. My Father is in heaven at this very moment. This is not a trite saying just to assuage some grief of people that have a foolish belief. It's not that at all. It's the hope. It's the anchor for the soul. It's the promise, because we've experienced Jesus Christ with our minds and with our bodies and with our souls. On August 17, 2006, my Father ascended into the glory prepared by him for him by God the Father and Jesus Christ. The question is, will you be joining him someday? Will you be with him for an eternity? And many in my immediate family and my friends have already made that destination sure. And we're an eternal family, joined by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be united in heaven someday. If you have not made such a decision, then the message of Dad's death, which can be totally without warning, and came totally without warning to him, is today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. Back of your bulletin, it says this: we abide here a season, then to him we go. No tears in heaven, no fellowship with despair. We'll drop robes of flesh here and meet Christ up there. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide your arms of love, Lord. I'm coming home. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I've spoken the words that my Father would have said, and I've done them faithfully, doing them exactly as I know He would have me do. Dear God, I praise you for a dad who lived his life constructively and consistently, who did what he must do to serve his family and did it with abandon and with passion. Dear God, I praise you for a father that never left me with any doubts as to his eternal destiny, a man who I cherished, and dear God, for a man who blessed his family with his presence and with his time and with his gentle love and with his hands. Dear God, thank you for this day. It's a joyous day for me. And dear God, I know some in here, it isn't a joyous day. I pray that you would help them to see with my eyes. And dear God, if they don't know you, that they would know you soon. I so want this family to last forever, dear God, to last an eternity with you. And there's only one way, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And to him be all the praise, glory, and power, as I'm sure my Father even now is rejoicing in. Thank you, God. You're so good, so gracious to your servants. It's in the name of Christ. Amen.